Okay, this is the special city council meeting Thursday, February 8th at 5:30. We're going to start right away because there is a planning meeting to follow. So we'll start with a call to order, moment of silence, followed by the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge of Allegiance to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Hey, Mr. Wenger, acting as our clerk, would you please call the roll?
Eric Davidson.
Here.
Sonia Hurt.
Here.
Mary Lou Stewart.
Here.
Michael Hill.
Here.
Richard May.
Present.
And then the absent today, I'm sorry.
Is Ryan Lopez?
Ryan Lopez, thank you. I couldn't quite read the nameplate from here. And Karina Higgins. Thank you.
So do we have to make a motion if this is a special city council to excuse them or not?
No.
No, okay, so we'll go right into this. And there's one item on the agenda. Resolution 1941-24, amending the City Council Rules of Procedure. Mr. Harmon?
Thank you, Mayor. As we've noticed in the last few meetings, there are some updates to our rules of procedure that need to be made to bring us into compliance with best practices, etc. And to do that, it requires two readings. And so if we want to take action on Monday at the regular meeting, we needed to have a first reading. So after discussion with the mayor, we decided that it would be best to hold a special meeting tonight to determine what council's interest is in bringing some of those changes forward on Monday. So with that, Peter Raffato, our city attorney, is here to walk through some of the changes that he's made to the document and explain some of the reasoning behind those changes. So Mayor, I'd like to yield the floor to Mr. Raffato.
Thank you, Mr. Raffato. Your microphone is coming.
Oh, right behind you, sir. Just preliminarily, as City Manager Harmon stated, this is just a presentation of, and it'll just be some highlights of the changes that are proposed. And based on the current rules, a change to the rules requires an introduction and then a review and vote at a subsequent meeting. And I do think it's a good idea to review the rules periodically. It's been a while. You have pandemic evolution in some of the meeting processes and general operations of the city. You also have some changes to state law that occurred in 2022. One of those has been incorporated into a municipal code provision having to do with remote meetings, and we'll mention that briefly. But some of them haven't been incorporated into the council rules of procedure. And I would say, too, that the ultimate purpose of these rules, at least one of the overriding purposes, and these amendments are really to provide for efficient meetings, allow the council to conduct the city's business in an orderly fashion. And that includes any sort of public hearings or public comment periods. And you'll see jurisdictions across the state right now grappling with some of the issues that you have grappled with in terms of disruptions. In fact, I was on the phone earlier today with another municipal attorney, and those issues are being addressed throughout the state. So with that, I'm just going to give an overview of the amendments, the highlights, and what I would also say is that most of these are really in the nature of clarification. Some of the things that we're going to talk about in terms of language changes were really implied in the rules already, but it's good to have those explicit there's any question about it.
Before the overview, I have a quick question. Have these all been vetted to be consistent with constitutionality, state law, and such? These have all been vetted for rules that we can have in this format?
Yes, they've been reviewed both for purposes of the Open Public Meetings Act as well as any case law having to do with constitutional issues, in particular in the context of public hearings and public comments. Yes. So I'm just going to hit the highlights, and if anyone wants to go to some specific provision that I haven't mentioned, You can go back to that, but I'm going to start with the first rule where you see some changes, and that's the decorum rule. So that's number 7. So if you look at number 7, and that's an existing rule that's being revised. And the good thing is about your decorum rule, and this really gets to Councilmember May's point, your existing decorum rule does focus on conduct, which is important for constitutional reasons. And really what we're doing here is we're making it clear that the focus of the meeting will be focused on conduct. And it does, if you go down a little bit right there in the middle, we're really going to reference a rule that you'll see later on for when decorum is violated, for example, in the public comment context. And that rule, it says Rule 29C, that's referring to an old number. So when we get down to that new number, I'll highlight that. But it's now Rule 30, and we'll make that change before it comes before council. The next one is Rule Number 10.
Sorry, Peter, are we okay to ask as you go?
Yep.
Can you kind of give us an example of what would constitute slanderous remarks?
So the first thing I would say is a slanderous remark is basically, slander is a subset of defamation. And slander is a very legalistic term. So that's going to be a hard one to sort of show on the spot during a council meeting. It was an existing word. It's an existing term that I think I brought from a lower section, perhaps that section below. But slander is not protected speech, but I'll say with a caveat, it's going to be hard to prove on the spot. Slander is basically when you defame someone publicly, orally, and it's going to have to be a statement of fact. But the intent was not to focus on that particular item, although I included it because it was included, I believe, somewhere in the rules at some point. I inserted it there, but the key that the council is going to have to remember is there does have to be a lot of allowance and tolerance of harsh criticism. So opinion stated may be harsh, but unless it's a disruption, and that's where the case law comes in. Unless it's a disruption, it's not something that can be enforced against. We'll get into that when we talk about Rule 30.
All right, great, thank you.
Yep. So the next one is Rule 10, executive sessions. So this is just a clarification. When the council goes into executive session, there are different categories, as you know, potential litigation, reviewing the performance of a public employee, certain real estate matters. But sometimes you go into executive session and it's actually not technically an executive session. It is outside of Open Public Meetings Act. An example of that would be labor relations. But this is just a way to highlight, yeah, we're calling an executive session. That may mean it's an executive session under the statute, or it may mean that it's a closed session that's outside of the Open Public Meetings Act. And that's the reason for that rule change. The next one is Rule 11. That's the next one. So with Rule 11, this is just an acknowledgement that you have some updated guidance and governing authority that you've adopted as the City Council as part of your Bellingham Municipal Code for holding remote meetings, and we can pull up the provision, but basically it allows for remote meetings if there's a majority vote of the council, or in certain circumstances, the mayor can call for a remote meeting, as opposed to a hybrid meeting, which we have a lot of hybrid meetings. I would say that, a lot of that particular provision you have in your Bellingham Municipal Code is consistent with state law, and that same state law that was passed in 2022 provided for that. Because before that, it wasn't entirely clear that governing bodies could meet remotely. So let's move on to the next one, unless there are any questions on that. number 16, order of business. A little bit up there. New number 16. Okay. So I'll just highlight two things. First of all, that introductory paragraph you see during a city council meeting crossed out. Basically what this accomplishes is it allows the mayor or the city manager to rearrange the order of the order of business. So you have your standing elements of your agenda, and this allows the mayor or the city manager to make that, to rearrange that, not only during the meeting, but by crossing that out. We're basically saying that can occur before the meeting, because sometimes it's very clear that based on the way the business is lining up, you want to have that different. You don't have to stop in the middle of the meeting, the beginning of the meeting, and make a motion.
Can you speak up, please? I can't hear you.
So can you, and just, can everyone hear me here so far?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the next thing I'll highlight is the number 7. What you see there is we're really combining oral public comment and written public comment. So currently the city takes written public comment. You call it written communications. And you have taken oral public comment. But this recognizes, by combining them, that state law does not require you to have both. It requires you to have one or the other. So you can satisfy your public comment requirement by having written public comment only. And some jurisdictions have done that. And the other thing is this recognizes there's a line in there that just sort of points to other provisions that we'll talk about. And that's that the mayor may limit or alter the format for public comment as provided below. I should mention that prior to 2022, jurisdictions did not have to have any public comment. The city of Blaine had it. Most jurisdictions had a public comment period, but it wasn't required. Now it's required at every regular city council meeting where final action is taken. So that's the minimum standard that the city has to meet. And when I say final action, I mean the consent agenda would qualify. So you basically have to have it for every regular city council meeting. Let's move on to public hearings, number 28. There's two aspects to this. The beginning just sort of differentiates public hearings from public comment by saying it's specific to an agenda item and for a significant decision. It notes that there are different kinds of public hearings. You can have a legislative hearing versus a quasi-judicial public hearing. And then if we move down a little bit, we made a change. There was a reference to an exhibit, and we actually weren't able to locate that exhibit, and that is you have special procedures and a script often when either the council or the planning commission is going to hold a public hearing, and we're basically saying there that the city is going to maintain that. It's not going to be attached to the rules. It has to be approved by the city attorney, but give some flexibility in case there's some special circumstance and the script has to change or the procedure has to change. And that reminds me, these rules apply to all your boards and commissions to the extent it is applicable. For example, your planning commission. Your planning commission had some procedural rules that actually borrowed from some of that and placed in here. But in general, the idea is that they're going to have the same, for example, public hearing rules or public comment rules that the city council will have. Let's move on to Rule 30. Now, with Rule 30, one thing I'll highlight, if you slowly scroll down, you'll see that we have A, general rules. This is how it's structured. And that's anytime anyone's addressing the council. You have B, open public comment, and that's in there. And then you have C, C has to do with out-of-order conduct and enforcement against that. And then you have D, written public comment. You have E, and this is where the mayor is authorized to limit or alter the format for public comment. I mentioned that earlier when we were talking about the order of business. And that's just the overall structure of this. If we go back up to A, and I'll walk through some of these. Some of this you had, some of this you didn't. Let's go down a little bit. So the first one, number two, this has to do with using public comment to for campaigning activity. That really should be precluded because you're not supposed to use government property or city property during an election for campaign activity. That would be for someone running for office or for a ballot measure. Now, there is an exception that's referenced there. The council can hold a public hearing and vote on, they can vote to support a ballot measure, for example. You're not going to vote to support any particular individual in a campaign, but you can vote to support a ballot measure if you follow certain procedures. Number three, just paraphrasing, it's really the guidance is that individuals making remarks to the council should be focusing on the body as a whole and not to any individual council member. It's not intended to be a question and answer period, there may be a time when someone asks a question and, you know, they can be directed to the city manager to follow up. It just acknowledges that. Number four, we refer back to the council rules of decorum, rule seven, as part of the obligations of when you're addressing council. And then there's number five, just acknowledges that when someone is speaking, you want to have respect from those in the audience. You don't want to have clapping or booing or anything like that. Then we get to B, open public comment. So the first section would be more general statement, general guidance and rules. This has to do with open public comment. First, we just state the rule. You're going to have public comment in any regular meeting where you have final action. Members of the public can comment on any item on the agenda or having to do with city business. Some jurisdictions limit public comment to only items on the agenda, but the city of Wayne hasn't done that, so we didn't include that here. Moving down. There are folks that wish to speak are maybe asked to sign a register. I know there might be some questions about whether that process is going to continue. I know that Mr. Crawford has some questions about that, so we included that folks may be asked to do that. All comments must be provided from the podium. If you can go back up a little bit. Speakers are requested to state their full name and address. It isn't stated that they're required to do so. But at times, and when we get into public hearings, then it becomes really a requirement because sometimes these things become an official record for purposes of notice later on. But here it's not stated that it's going to be absolutely mandatory.
You're drawing a distinction between a public hearing on a specific agenda item compared to just general public comment.
Correct. And you know, if you ask us, hey, we really want to have that as a requirement, we could look into that. There's some verbiage in the statute that may allow that, but I know that issue has been raised.
I found that when certain individuals from the community come up and state that they have a concern about something, the only way I can get back to them is to go to that record and see who they are and where they live. Otherwise, I don't find them again. I can never get any more information.
Yeah, thank you. So, the next one is a lot of verbiage around the 3-minute rule. It's a, you know, you have 3 minutes. You're gonna include time if someone is sort of getting ready. It's an efficiency issue. That goes against the 3 minutes. I think it's written there. And you're not to share your time with someone else. Sometimes people say, well, I only have 2 minutes. I want to give a minute to so-and-so. That's not allowed according to the way we wrote this. And then you have oral public comment is defined as comment provided by means of speech by the individual making remarks. So one question, well, what is oral comment? And we've identified here, we've seen this here and in other jurisdictions, statements delivered by means other than speech are not going to be allowed. So we might have to do a little bit of work on that because I see that we do have, that you might have a visual presentation. And so make a note of that.
And could you please read section 2.6, please? So our audience, everyone out there can see it.
Yeah, oral public comment is defined as comment provided by means of speech by the individual making remarks. Pre-recorded statements or other statements delivered by means other than speech by the person making remarks is prohibited. So the idea is if you look up the definition of oral, it means by speech. So the whole idea here is we're consistent with the Open Public Meetings Act. Now, you might say, well, what if someone has some, you know, difficulty in that for some reason? There is an allowance, you'll see when we get further down to the mayor making exceptions, if there's sort of a disability or something like that.
Some people might need a vibrator.
Yeah, there may be some reason, and that can be accommodated, certainly. Okay, moving down, so what you see as a paragraph, that'll need to be a separately numbered paragraph. That's an introduction from state law. On the request of, oops, if you go up, and this is, state law requires that if you do have oral public comment and someone requests an accommodation due to disability or inability to appear at the city council meeting, you, if it's feasible, you ought to make arrangements for remote public comment. And then we get into C. C has to do with out-of-order conduct and how that's enforced. And basically what it boils down to is, and you can read the different types of conduct that would be considered out of order, but really what it boils down to, and this gets to Councilmember May's point, if it's a disruption or it's impeding the progress of the meeting or it disturbs the meeting, then council, and it could be because of the manner in which the speech is being made, then it becomes conduct that is, can be enforced by the council. And so this really is some guidance to everyone, the council and the public, that if that is occurring, then the mayor can direct that it cease, and direct the person to sit down. If it doesn't cease, you can take a recess, and if worse comes to worse, you know, you can enforce that ultimately. Okay, moving on to D, written public comment. In your agenda, you call it written communication. I put in here written public comment because that's consistent with state law, and that just indicates how that can be done with Blaine City Council. And finally, we have E, and this just authorizes the mayor to limit or alter the format of public comment, including deviation from the rules stated above by either limiting the opportunity for public comment to be written only, so long as notice is provided in the agenda for the meeting, limiting the total time. I've seen some jurisdictions, and I don't know if you have this rule, saying we're only going to have 30 minutes because we have to move on to other city business. You can modify the rules as needed for special accommodation, and a catch-all, implementing any other reasonable time, place, and manner requirement that is viewpoint neutral. And then there's a sentence in there for how that would be done by a deviation by a city board or commission. That really needs to be in consultation with the mayor and the city manager. Any questions on that section? That's
so we're not required to have public comment at all?
You're not required to have oral public comment.
We're not required to have oral spoken in-person public comment. So any public comment there is can be at the mayor's discretion. And that is not in violation of any state or federal law that you're aware of.
That's correct.
Thank you.
And the last one I'll just point out is Rule 36. It's an important rule. It's the title is Breach of the Rules. And really really the change here is to point out that these rules are for the council. These rules are not for third parties outside the council to enforce against the council. It's for the benefit of the council. It's really implied in the whole idea of rules of procedure. And this just highlights that the only way this can be enforced is by the body of the council enforcing it against itself. So that's all I have. Unless there are any questions.
Mayor, really, there's no action needed by the council tonight. The rules of procedure, the changes needed to be introduced at a meeting prior to consideration. There certainly could be action, but there isn't any required tonight, Mayor. So with that, that's all staff have. We do recommend these changes for your consideration and adoption Monday, and we'd be happy to answer any questions that you have prior to Monday on them.
I just have one very, very quick comment. We had a presentation by Dr. Granger from school last night, and he testified before the U.S. Congress and Senate, and he was only allowed 60 seconds. And at that prestigious a meeting, it really says a lot. We're being generous with 3 minutes, I think.
Any other further comments for this evening?
Just for the record, we want to say that Kermaine Higgins came in to the meeting. So that's it.
Right, if there's no further comment, I will adjourn the meeting at 5:57. Thank you very much.